Collins, a smart guy, former Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel, Defense Intelligence Agency. He knows his stuff. He just gave me a huge idea during the break. We're not going to do it until 6 after when some stations join us. I want the full audience to hear this. But I will go through all the little technicals here with you, but you agree with me during the break. This is historic. Israel has bit off more than it can chew through Netanyahu. Colonel McGregor has said it. With the territorialism of the Pentagon and the agencies, which is normal and natural, the fact that we've been pro-Israel and nice in the past, that is all about to end with this insane attempt to create this special agent who is above all other Pentagon agencies and only reports to the Secretary of Defense of the President. I mean, you couldn't make this up. And I knew, I said on air last week, I said, I can't believe the Pentagon isn't coming out against this. I said, we are conquered if they don't, and boom, they come out and say Israel's the number one threat, which it is right now. China was number one, and it's because they've got the agency, they've got the connection, they've got the humet. But in a few minutes of this break, speak about how historical this is, your idea, the big one next segment. We need to support Massey in his last 5-6 months there. I guess this is in January, 7 months. We need to all become Thomas Massey. We need to, because they were scared of him. Well, we're all Spartacus now. We're all Massey now. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things that I want to say that I haven't seen anybody talk about that is probably just as important as everything else we said. You got to look at the domestic political dynamics in Israel, the Likud party, and Bibi Netanyahu's current position. If you take a look, there should basically technically now going into the fall be parliament or elections on whether or not they're going to keep Bibi Netanyahu in power. And the way, because it's kind of one-third pro-Bibi, one-third anti-Bibi, and one-third kind of in that mix. And so they're trying to do a no-confidence vote on Bibi Netanyahu. But you can't do a no-confidence vote when he continually has these foreign threats and emergency situations. It's kind of similar to what Zelensky did in order to wave off an election, a presidential election in Ukraine to maintain power. So same playbook. Bibi Netanyahu has been in power for, what, 20, 25 years, and he wants to retain that power. Imagine 25 years, just like the Biden criminal syndicate, generational incestuous corruption accumulated over generations, and he wants to maintain that hold on power. And right now, the only way to do it, he can't really do it domestically, so he has to show that he controls Donald Trump like a lapdog and the United States. And so far, he's been doing it. But luckily, the president of the United States has finally taken notice that he's being manipulated by Bibi's surrogates, affiliates that have encircled completely President Trump. Luckily, again, Joe Kent had the courage to step out and forcefully reject that through very articulate rhetoric. And that's catching on. Massey's picking up on that same message. Marjorie Taylor Greene is picking up on the same message. And it's not only them. There's, I mean, you, obviously, and many millions more. And so this White House has to react to it. And so now, with that dynamic of Bibi, once you know that, he's kind of teetering on whether he's going to stay in power. And there's only one way that he can stay. He has to continue to escalate his influence and control over the money flow coming into his country. And that is through this military defense industrial complex.
Yeah, he's telling Israel, let me stay in power. Let me stay in power and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And even the Jerusalem Post admits he needs war to continue. He's already been convicted. Even the New York Times admits that it's all about Bibi putting the whole world economy in danger, the military in danger. Also, he doesn't go to prison. Which, well, the problem is he goes, Ben-Gvir gets in, who's even crazier.
Yeah, so, I mean, when people factor that in and see exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it, I don't see a de-escalation from Bibi Netanyahu. I think it only increases. And the only way to stop that is, you want me to talk about it now or should we wait a minute?
We're going to break in 32 seconds. We're going to come back. I agree with you when you said this is genius. People need to have not moronic leftist protest, you know, where we join the Muslim, but targeted media events in targeted places that are already getting major attention. Like I used to do bullhorning live events. You peacefully hijack big events strategically. Mm-hmm. Something the retard left hadn't figured out how to do. We're going to come back and talk about Ivan Reichlin's expert idea. It's almost like he's a Green Beret colonel. Stay with us.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Listening to an AJN Live Frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, Phil Turney, the head of the USS Liberty Association, interviewed many times years ago. Today is the anniversary, 59 years since that Israeli false flag attack, working with LBJ and everybody involved, try to sink it, blame Egypt, go to war with Russia, kind of Gulf of Tonkin or Operation Northwoods 2.0. We'll talk to Phil in just a moment. He just connected by phone. He's been in some hearings and there at Congress with Massey, so we'll be talking to him. That's why I can't connect via video. Ivan Reichland's riding shotgun with us. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, Special Operations Defense Intelligence Agency. You had a great idea about not just press conferences, but front and center to draw attention to getting Trump, who's signaling that he's saying we're not Israel first, we're America first. Netanyahu roped him into the war. He wants an off-ramp now. You said something during the break about 10 minutes ago that is absolutely hiding in plain view and is a great way for people to hijack major attention and inject this issue. You're talking about the UFC coming up on June 14th there at the White House. Ivan Reichland.
Yeah, June 14th is President Trump's birthday. I believe he turns 80, and that's when the UFC fights are going to be taking place. A lot of media attention there, and I would recommend that, you know, at the end of the day, we want to have our voices heard. I would recommend that Sean Strickland, Bryce, I can't remember his last name, and any other America First patriot that has a voice or just wants to have a voice, descend in and around the United States White House and express that we're no longer wanting to be an Israel first country or even tied for first. Our representatives should be representing U.S. citizens and only U.S. citizens before we even engage and entertain in supporting any other foreign nation. And that's why I recommend I'm going to be out there on June 14th. In the vicinity of the White House, and we, you know, you may be able to bump into folks like Susie Wiles to ask her a question on camera. You may be able to bump into Jared Kushner or even Bibi Netanyahu as he's rolling in to potentially even host the UFC event. You could even talk to Dana White maybe as you descend.
Well, the
on
point
Washington,
is, there's going to be hordes
and accidentally
of,
bump into each one of them.
There'll be hordes of new media, independent media. Everyone, you don't need to be in the event to get the media, and we'll be able to be there as right. patriots saying the Defense Intelligence Agency and two other Pentagon agencies have said the number one threat's Israel. They're trying to take over. Here's their bills. That is a because you get more attention bullhorning Trump than you do going in even and talk to him. And I think this is a place for us to peacefully do this.
Yeah. So say hello to Miriam Adelson. Kind of give her your peace. Peacefully, patriotically, legally, morally, ethically. Just exercising your First Amendment to the maximum, just like Alex Jones has been doing for decades. I started doing a few years ago.
Well, do you want me to join you up in D.C.? Sounds like something I should probably be at.
I would love for you to be there. And yes, I don't know how to say yes more violently than I am right now.
All right, stay there. Ride shotgun with us. Phil Turney, who I want to invite on when he's out.
Are you going to commit to a yes? You got to commit to a yes, Alex. You always say no.
I'm pinned down here at the firebase, but I'm strongly considering it, okay?
Very close. Everybody that's listening, comment, tag Alex Jones, tell him you want him to be at the White House reporting on the event and maybe doing some First Amendment
stuff. Well, I already said last week,
of America first.
If Trump doesn't quickly come out against Section 224 of the NDAA that turns our country over to Israel, literally, I'm going to go bullhorn the White House. And I'm going to go bullhorn Mar-a-Lago. So, yeah,
veto it, right? He can still veto it.
Well, he needs to just come out. He needs to tell the Republicans, pull it. Because they already passed that out of committee, for those that don't know, last Thursday. All right. Phil, I want to invite you on as soon as you get home via Zoom for a full hour. I miss you. Haven't been on in years. What a great job you've done. But you've joined us via phone. You've been up there at Congress today on the 59th anniversary of the most decorated ship in U.S. history that you survived. Those incredible patriots. That's a Phil Turney, doubles Phil on X. Just say Phil Turney, T-O-U-R-N-E-Y on X. He's the former U.S. Navy petty officer, survivor of the June 8, 1967 attack on the USS Liberty during the Six-Day War, an incident that killed 34 American sailors and wounded 170. Turney, who was 20 years old at the time, has spent decades breaking in silence to challenge the official U.S.-Israel explanations of the events. He is a vocal advocate of the survivors, serving as a three-time president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association and authoring books such as What I Saw That Day and Erasing the Liberty. Attorney asserts that the attack was deliberate and part of a conspiracy involving U.S. government, specifically citing LBJ Johnson's order to withhold assistance to protect Israel's asset, you know, turn the planes back. His personal account has gained significant public attention. And so he's here with us for a brief interview. He's up on Capitol Hill via phone. But I want to, as soon as he can, come on for a full hour to do a deep dive on this, because I'm concerned Israel's going to do new false flags. BB was prime minister when 9/11 happened, and that was clearly heavily involved with Israel. And so I'm really concerned, Phil. And I want to talk about the USS Liberty 59 years later, and your fellow sailors you lost, and those that survived that you've lost since then, and just recap that. But in the larger view, you know, Israel tried to kill you to launch a war against Egypt and the Russians working with LBJ. I talked to the JAG officers that did the trials, as you know, that were like, LBJ comes on the sat phone and says, I want that goddamn ship on the bottom. You're not going to help them. So this was premeditated. We know that. And then it failed because you guys kept the ship up. But now to have the Pentagon come out and say Israel's the main threat to our national security, and now to have Israel caught trying to do a coup over our military and this new legislation, I mean, this is now front and center. So you were out in the wilderness for decades trying to expose the Liberty. Are you feeling vindicated now that this is all front burner, sir?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Alex. And by the way, Tom Massey told me to give you his best regards.
Thank you.
And yes, he's a great man. He did something on the floor today that no other congressman or senator has ever done. He introduced a bill, to get the investigation open on the USS Liberty, which is 59 years too late. And, Thomas Massey is a fighter, and he's an America First man, and I really respect him, as I do you.
Well, I knew you were there for something special, and I didn't know it had actually happened, so we'll grab it. It's probably on X by now. He actually called on the House floor for an official investigation, finally, of the USS Liberty?
Yes, sir. It's on X right now. You can look it up, Alex.
Wow, there it is. We're going to play that after you leave us. Promise you'll come back. You got some time now, but promise. I know you're in the middle of Congress right now. Promise you'll come back in the next week or so to do a full hour, 2 hours on this. But just give us your emotions, your view, where we are 59 years later after they would threaten you guys, threaten to put you in prison, the hell you went through, and now, you know, see this starting to come out. It's got to feel like at least some justice.
It does, and it's long overdue. But you know what? I really believe, Alex, in our lifetime, and I'm 80 now. We're all getting older, but we're gonna win this battle with people like Tom Massey. And I'm sorry about the noise in here.
No, we get it, sir. It's okay. It's great background. You're just amazing. You know, my biggest frustration is I've been on air 32 years, and early on I started interviewing guys like you, and I get to interview so many of the guys that are gone now. We've tried to dig up some of the interviews, but so much of it is so old we can't find it. That's got to be frustrating to you, that all those incredible men are gone now, and there's still some of you guys. What percentage of you guys are left?
There's probably about 40, 45, maybe 50 of us still alive out of a crew of 294. So we're all dying off. You know, there's 34 killed originally and 171 wounded, as you know. And, you know, another thing, Alex, they committed war crimes against us, and our own government won't do anything about it. We had a war crimes resolution sent to the Army. That's the ones who took care of the the War Crimes Commission. They haven't done anything since 2005. They don't even talk to us. So it's a cover-up. I mean, Israel first, that's it, no matter what. If Israel can get by murdering Americans on the high seas, they can get by with almost anything, and they're doing it right now.
Well, it doesn't ever take away from Israel, but you pointed out in your bio and your LBG, it's a sick relationship with our deep state in Israel that keeps doing this.
It's very sick, and it's got to stop, or we're going to lose everything. And I truly believe that. I mean, look what they've done to everybody, and I mean, it's full bore. And I don't think anybody in the world in their right mind could love Netanyahu or Trump at this point. You know, I voted for Trump, and everything he said, he lied to me. And, you know, nothing he said was the truth. And I'm sorry I voted for him, but I apologize to everybody. I did give my vote.
Well, don't apologize. You had Kamala on the other side. I mean, come on. I get it. He's definitely become a lesser of two evils. I don't blame you for being disgusted. But you can see even the main Israel analysts, all their former Mossad chiefs say Netanyahu is going to destroy Israel. Israel's bit off more than it can chew. And for people that don't know about the Liberty, it would take an hour to go over it all. Why was it the most decorated ship in U.S. history? That's saying a lot.
It is. It's one of the most decorated ships in history. Two-thirds screws, either dead or wounded, you know, from the Medal of Honor on down.
But the amount of torpedoes and rockets and machine. I mean, they shot the thing up like Swiss cheese, and it wouldn't sink.
It wouldn't sink. We had a 40 by 40 foot hole in the starboard side, over 850 rocket cannon holes in it. So they napalmed us. They were burning us up with napalm. They shot our life rafts out of the water. We only had three left. We shot them out of the water. We were going to put our most seriously wounded in them. And they shot them out of the water. That's how evil they were. They didn't want any survivors. But the whole ship, by the grace of God, stayed afloat, and here we are today still talking about it.
Now, I'm going from memory, but didn't they send commandos in on helicopters who finally turned back? Why do you think they turned back? Because they thought you guys were about to defeat them, or because maybe the commanders refused? Because I'd read that some of the first jets that came over refused, and they had to send more, and some pilots got in trouble.
Right. They sent the help from America and the Saratoga, and they recalled the aircraft. LBJ said he didn't give a damn about a few dead sailors. He's not going to embarrass his ally Israel. And nothing's changed from that day on to this day. It's even worse.
Incredible. Well, listen, Phil, I know you're busy. I've been trying to get you on for a year. Promise me you'll come on whenever you want. I'll do a special time. I'll tape it. Just tell my producers when you want to come on via video, because I want to really, it's time to really revisit all this right now.
I will do, and I'm going to plug my own book while I'm here.
Please do, yeah.
Book. It's called Stay Afloat, and you can get it on Amazon. But if you want a signed copy, go to PhilTurneyPodcast.com. PhilTurneyPodcast.com, you can get a signed copy.
Well, Phil, I read one of your books. I haven't read that one, but you're on the next week to talk about the book, brother. And we're going to play the Massey thing here now. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on, and next week we'll get together and we'll just blow him up. We'll do it.
Well, that's great. Going back to Massey, he's in good spirits. He said hi. I appreciate him, too. What did he say?
No, he said, yeah, tell Alex hello, and he respects you, and he's, you know, he's glad what you're doing. I mean, you're telling the world, and today he told the world about the USS Liberty, and it was very brave of him. He did a hell of a good job, too. I mean, an excellent job.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that if he could have overridden their fraud, they were going to kill him. Don't you think if he'd actually been able to defeat their buying of the seat, they were going to kill him?
Yeah. Well, you know, they spent $40 million out him, and it was all outside money. Miriam Adelson and others. I mean, how could the guy win? There's just no way. But
you're a bad person because you survived people trying to kill you.
I know it.
You know, but nobody buys it. Phil Turney, we'll talk to you soon. God bless you. See you next week.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Thank you.
And going back to and letting Ivan Ranklin finish up and play the Thomas Massey Club, I would come on tomorrow for a full hour, fourth hour, uninterrupted, but we double booked and Brianna had to move her time and she's coming up. But just, we're not on the Israel bashing thing. I know you're not. That's not your background. You know, I mean, I know you're Jewish, but the point is you're America first and not this crazy cult running Israel. But this is a nightmare. I have to be on Israel all the time now because it's just, it's everywhere and people are awake to it. And I would just advise Israel to get rid of Netanyahu. What would you say to Israel to get out of this? Because I can see second, third, fourth order. This isn't going to end well for anybody, including Israel, Ivan.
Yeah, so my dad is Jewish and agnostic. My mom is Christian.
I understand.
Russian Orthodox, just to clarify.
So you're a Christian. That's your identity. I get it.
But that's not the issue, just like you were saying. The issue is we have a country. Okay, it's called the United States of America. And so my loyalties are to my country and to the Constitution that created it, not to another country, not to Russia, not to Ukraine, not to Venezuela, not to Israel, for that matter, right? And so what I'd say to those Israeli citizens that aren't a fan of Bibi Netanyahu, I think it's time to move on from him as your leader because, I mean, how long has he been in power?
And that means Ben Gavir as well. Well, you're a smart analyst. Do you think I'm right that the number one threat to Israel is the Likudniks?
Right. What they're doing is perpetual war, and it only increases their threat posture because I get it. Iran needs to be dealt with. Okay. We've destroyed quite a few things in Iran, and we've done some targeted addressing of individuals in the past. President Trump has done that. But at the same time, you need to mitigate your own national security risk as an Israeli citizen. And I think one of the things that you need to consider as part of your calculus is, you know, at what lengths do you want to go to do a regime change? Is it to do it in order to keep Bibi in power, or is it going to actually provide you your security?
Well, let's be clear. You're killing the world economy. The mullahs didn't fall, as the Pentagon told you it wouldn't. If it would have worked, I said, great, do it. It's not going to work. So the experts said don't do it. Didn't work. Now you want to take over our government because it wants to get out of it, and now you've bit off that? I mean, this is crazy town.
So Bibi Netanyahu, Mark Levin, and now Laura Loomer, as well as Lindsey Graham, are all creating a lot of anti-Semites, right? They're the ones that are creating the anti-Semites, not those that are addressing the political governmental issue. So I think that's something that people need to consider. I mean, we're seeing that real time. So I think if you don't mind, I mean, can we play the clip?
Yeah.
And then maybe we do a analysis.
Here's
of
Congressman
Thomas Massie.
This just happened like 45 minutes ago. And I like the shout out from
15
Massie.
Yeah, 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, so here it is. This is Congressman Massie calling for an investigation of USS Liberty.
On the next day, on June 8th, they started the day. The visibility was unlimited. The American flag was flying proudly on the USS Liberty. More planes came from Israel to surveil the boat, the ship. And they thought they were in good shape. But what happened next surprised them all. French Mirage jets showed up and for 25 minutes strafed and attacked the USS Liberty. They shot rockets. They shot 30-millimeter cannons into the hull and into the ship. They even dropped napalm on the bridge of the ship. This was an effort to kill everybody on board. There was no intention of taking prisoners. After the 25 grueling minutes of attack on this virtually unarmed ship, and they thought things were over and they could recover, the torpedo boats showed up, three torpedo boats. They launched four torpedoes. One of them hit the hull of the USS Liberty and killed 25 people instantly. It blew a 40-foot by 40-foot hole in the side of this ship. They were intent on sinking it. But they were also intent on not having a single survivor. According to eyewitness accounts, the Israelis machine gunned the lifeboats that they put down. They machine gunned the firefighters who were on the deck. They were bringing the wounded and the dead to the mess hall to triage them. They had one doctor who was trying to help them all, put a few stitches in. It was harrowing, and it's amazing.
The captain had to tie his guts in.
If not for that crew, that boat would have sunk that day. But it still wasn't over. Helicopters showed up, combat helicopters. And the USS Liberty, even though their signals were being jammed by the Israelis, got a signal out. And there were ships that tried to respond. the USS Saratoga, the USS America, sent planes, both of them sent planes to help the USS Liberty. And something happened that's never happened before. A ship under attack, the planes were recalled. This has never happened before. And they sat there for 17 hours. 34 dead, 174 wounded, out of 294 crew members. That's over 70% casualty rate, unheard of. The Israelis were intent on leaving no survivor. And what about our own military? Why did they not send anybody for 17 hours to help these men? So what really happened? You know, the official reports say that it was a case of mistaken identity. But if you listen to Dean Rusk, former Secretary of State, Richard Helms, CIA director, Bobby Ray Inman, head of the NSA, Captain Ward Boston, who was the chief counsel of the Court of Inquiry. If you listen to Admiral Moore, who served in Pearl Harbor, Midway, commanded both the Atlantic and Pacific Fleet, and was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, none of these distinguished men think this was an accident. They think it was intentional murder by the country of Israel, either as a false flag operation or because they simply didn't want anybody observing what they were doing that day. Well, I've got a call to action for everybody here. Honor these individuals. Quit ignoring that they exist. Go to their website, ussliberty.org. Support them. And while they're still alive, they need closure. Let's give them closure. Let's have an investigation. Let's pass a resolution honoring them. It's long overdue. And then they can have their justice. With that, I yield back. And I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record a declaration of Ward Boston declaring that the only official court of inquiry was invalid.
This is Israel's biggest nightmare, Ivan Regland. They are crapping bricks right now, aren't they?
Yeah, just like Massey said at his victory speech at the at his election, that he has 7 months left, and this is the opening salvo. It's in order to educate the country, uncensored on C-SPAN, for the whole world to see and hear, going back 59 years, what were the transgressions by Israel? I mean, and then from there, I think he's going to lay out the history and how Bibi Netanyahu is probably the biggest threat to American national security right now.
Wow. Ivan, how do people find you? We want to get you back tomorrow, fourth hour, to get back into this historic awakening. And we wake up to the Israel influence. We'll
There's
get the
a
Shacom,
lot that I can recommend to Thomas Massey if we can get into it tomorrow on what he can do over the next 7 months to continue to escalate this exposure and truth.
Yeah, well, I figured it would become an issue for him, but he listens to the show. I'll sleep at that. But yeah, definitely. The earlier guy was like, oh, Massey loves you. I was like, yeah, I know. I don't, we kind of, everything's DL. But yeah, he's definitely going to be on fire, like you said, the next 7 months. And if the globalists thought they struck down Obi-Wan Kenobi, they just created 1,000 more. So, Ivan, people can find you on ivanraiklin.substack.com and at Raiklin on X. We will talk to you again tomorrow, 4th hour, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Ivan Raiklin, amazing. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. If we can wake up to the globalists and wake up to Israel and the Chi-Cons, we can wake up to all the foreign interests. F all these people. We don't hate them because they're Jewish or Chinese. We hate them because their governments want to run our country, and we're not going to let them anymore. We're taking America back. Stay with us. God bless the USS Liberty. 59 years later, what an incredible event today. Great job, Thomas Massey. I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. Then I'll get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're VIP, you get surveys. And you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting, or what are you liking best, or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back, bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time, and so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. You can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, And now I'm taking it because I don't know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I mean, I know it's great. I know that you go back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, if they had a sickly kid or a preemie, they would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that. Oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa. I mean, like that, donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey. Donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a Jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys. So you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. You know, women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, when I was listening to Congressman Massey talk about the USS Liberty attack and how the former head of the CIA, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Moore, saying it was a false flag attack carried out with Israel and LBJ to try to sink the ship, to blame it on Egypt, go to war with Russia, I was getting goosebumps because we got to find these interviews because Moore died in like 99, 2000 or something. Moore was a fan of the show because he knew Benton Parton. I had Moore on like 5 or 6 times. And I mean, I had him like, he was in heart failure. He didn't really say that. He'd be on there like, I don't know how much more time I have. I'm going to say this, Alex. And I had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. When Liberty happened, he was the head of the Navy. He was the Battle of Midway, war hero, everything in World War II. And I mean, this guy was just dumping the data on not just that, but so much more. I mean, we've got to somehow, because stuff going back 20 years before, we can't find it. We find this and that. Everything we find super viral. But I just, man, I wish I'd have saved all that. I did, but God knows where it's at. Because back then there wasn't YouTube and clouds and all this stuff. It was like archived on the little network I was on. Somebody's got it. Somebody's got that stuff saved. Get it out there. All right, Brianna Morello, incredible talk show host, been Fox producer, done great work over at InfoWars where they shut that down, contributing here. She's always everywhere, but she actually lives up in Dallas, so she's been covering the Carmelo Anthony trial. The prosecution's rested its case. Of course, the murder of Austin Metcalf, and she can give us her take on this and all these weird, crazy, brainwashed black nationals saying kill all the white people out front the courthouse every day and all the insanity. She's been sitting in on it, and so she was able to get back to her studio so she'd have a better connection. So give us your breakdown on this case that has really gotten the attention of the country, because the media tried to say it's a white guy. He deserves to die. I mean, they obviously know we're the worst people in the world. So why is this case so big? What have you witnessed covering the trial? Do you have any predictions on what the verdict's going to be? Brown and Morello, thanks for being here. Everybody can find you. You got so many different great sites and everywhere else. Where's the best place for people to find you? Is it Brianna Morello on X, and then also your website?
IndependentNewsroom.com is the other one, Alex. Thank you. And it's good to see you, my friend. I've missed you dearly, so it's good to catch up with you.
Miss you, too.
Alex, I wanted to give you this update, actually, because it just happened moments ago. We just got word that defense has officially arrested its case, and that's kind of was in limbo while I was trying to broadcast to you guys outside of the courtroom. But they've officially now, they're done calling any witnesses to the stand. That means Carmelo Anthony will not be testifying in his own defense. Again, it's an individual claiming self-defense. So it's a little rough to hear that one, of course, and to think that he has got a convincing argument on his own half. But the jury has been dismissed for the day, and they will return tomorrow for closing arguments from both sides. And then deliberations will begin. But it's not going well for Carmelo Anthony and his defense team. They're claiming self-defense against the man who may have pushed Carmelo. Again, it's very rough. It's very disputed. But what wasn't disputed on the stand were the multiple, over a dozen teammates who came forward and testified on the record to say that Carmelo Anthony, there was different variations of it, but some said it was murder. Some said it was lethal force against non-lethal force. Others said that he provoked Austin. And that's the big one here, because if you're claiming self-defense, you can't provoke someone. And the quotes that were being pushed out there from these individuals who testified show just that. One individual said that Carmelo said to Austin, y'all a bunch of, and then used the P word to go after these guys. It was very, very clear that Carmelo felt emboldened, thanks to the people that testified, that he felt emboldened to go and keep pushing and pushing, even though Carmelo was repeatedly, according to one witness, told 15 times to get out of their tent. Folks, if you played college sports, you know, I've ran track. I've ran track back in my younger days. You don't go under someone else's tent. Obviously, they're talking strategy. When it's guys, they're obviously trying to do the brotherly bonding. It's almost like if you're playing baseball, you don't see the New York Mets going into the Los Angeles Dodgers dugout. It doesn't make sense.
It's like randomly pulling up in some neighborhood on a Saturday and walking into somebody's backyard during a barbecue.
Exactly. And that's why you saw the defense team going out there and saying, oh, he could have been there. It's not totally unheard of. No, it is unheard of. If you're someone who plays sports, you know that stuff doesn't fly. And so they tried to push that narrative out, Alex. It didn't go well for them. It went really, really poorly. I see that my camera just swapped.
It's okay.
So I'm going to switch this back for you guys. But here's the issue here with all of this. They're not being honest. They're sitting there, the defense team, trying to justify what happened. And what happened was not justifiable. He had multiple times was told to leave. If he felt intimidated, he could have stepped out of the tent. He could have went home. He chose not to. He chose to stay under their tent. Now, the defense team also tried to say, oh, someone called him over to have that discussion.
Now, I know most people know about the story, but people that don't know, maybe recap. What was happening, what the event was, and why he was screaming at people in their tent? Like, was he like on something or whacked out of his brain? Like, what's the point?
No, there was no reports that he was on any drugs or anything. They just said that he was at a track meet and he was under the wrong team's tent, and they told him repeatedly to leave. Now, it was raining outside, according to reports. Some said it was like a drizzle almost. And so that's the reason why they were huddled up under the tent. But I mean, it wasn't too far away to go to the other side and to go onto another side tent. But he chose not to. He chose not to leave.
And reportedly kept screaming at him for a long time, saying, touch me, touch me.
Yeah, so this is the part where they said that he was provoking them. He, like I said, you know, according to one witness, said, y'all a bunch of, and then used the P words. He said, you know, you guys aren't going to do anything. Touch me and see what happens. That happened. And apparently, according to one witness, who's very close to hearing the description as to what was going down between the two of them, Austin had joked when he saw that Carmelo had his hand in a backpack And he said, you guys, you don't have anything in there. This is Frisco. Frisco, Texas, although we have a massive immigration issue with Indians and with Muslims right now, it's a relatively safe
community. Where you live, right?
Yeah. So the county did get
stalked by a Muslim, but overall it's low crime.
Well, so if we talk about that too, which I think is very interesting, there was an Egyptian immigrant who followed me up. I know our audience is very familiar with it because we played it repeatedly because I can't stop talking about this because it's a great Second Amendment case here. But there was a man who followed me into my apartment complex and the police refused to do anything about it. But as he followed me up to my apartment complex, I repeatedly told him to get out and leave. You don't live here. When he refused to leave, I then, after saying it several times, did pull my firearm, was pulling it out. And he saw that and fled the scene and ran. Now he goes on trial. And this is the interesting part too. This is, I'm very familiar with the prosecution in this case because those same prosecutors that you see today arguing against Carmelo Anthony, well, those are gonna be the same prosecutors in my case going after the man who followed me into my apartment building and refused to leave. He's going on trial for trespassing this summer. And so I'll be working with them on that as well. And I know for a fact when they heard and they saw the footage and they spoke with me, they specifically said, you know, we're really proud of you because this is a perfect example as to why the Second Amendment exists. And this is the perfect example of standing up for yourself and defending yourself. So we're talking about prosecutors who truly believe in being able to defend yourself. So when I'm watching this argument going back and forth, I know that they truly believe that Carmelo Anthony was not in a situation where his life was in danger. Now, there's also footage that was taken, and it's above the broadcasting booth. It kind of sounds like a bit, and it's very grainy. It's difficult to see. But one of the witnesses that took the stand today, I think this is really important, was forced to admit that the day of when he gave a statement to police, he said that he saw people surrounding Carmelo. And then since that, it's changed. And they went on the stand. They showed him the footage. He said, yeah, I can't really tell there. And then he said, you know, I wouldn't use the word surrounding anymore. And so a lot of the people that were put on the stand by the defense had their claims completely tossed out. What you're looking at now, by the way, is the footage of the man who was forced out of my building. And
yeah, he follows you a long time down the street. You say, get away. He follows you into the stairwell entrance into the fire escape. He's following you up there. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's claiming to be a Coptic Christian too, by the way, and that according to my sources, he was born in Egypt and he was brought over here, so likely someone who was seeking asylum. But again, this is, and it's not just me making these claims against him too. Other women did come forward and reported it to me. Unfortunately, the Plano Police Department has no cojones, and when they saw the term Middle Eastern in the description of that suspect, they decided not to take this case very seriously. But
sure, but back to the current thing. This got national attention.
Yeah.
And how does it help? Who are these? I've seen all these black organizations kill the crackers, murder them all, kill their babies. They're going to kill people if Carmelo Anthony's found guilty. Who the hell are these groups? It can't be helping with the jury to have groups of crazy, racist black people just running around screaming, we're going to murder you. What's going on there?
Well, Alex, I think it's a very small group of them. So I've been outside the courthouse a couple of days now, and no one's come up to me to say anything to me. But I could tell you this. There was one individual who I believe is a convicted sex offender who was outside the courthouse and made claims that have been broadcasted all over the internet. And, you know, one of your old, actually, employees, Savannah Hernandez, was outside the courthouse as well. And according to Savannah, she's interviewing this woman. And I noticed that this woman has like a plastic bottle in her hand, and it kind of looks like a Shutter Home bottle of wine. And so I text Savannah and asked, hey, is this woman drinking? And was that wine? And she said, yeah, that was wine in her hand. So I think you're seeing a lot of just delinquents who are outside the courthouse who are just, whether they have actual employment or not, I don't know. But I can tell you that there are delinquents outside the courthouse who are going to try to distract the American people and make this a racial issue. It's not a racial issue. And I'm not saying that.
Well, let's be clear. We had this Chinese man, I forget his name, last week, found not guilty by six of the nine were black jurors, where the black guy robs him, he runs, he pulls a gun, they shoot him. And then now some of the brainwashed black folks are calling and doing fake Chinese orders to random Chinese restaurants to punish the Chinese. It's just, it's totally insane. A black jury acquitted this guy, and a white guy stabbed some black guy randomly. I want him to go to prison. And so it's not most black folks doing this, but it just seems, I remember when this happened like a year ago, whatever. How did this become such a national issue? I guess because I remember the black leaders came out and defended Carmelo Anthony stabbing him to death.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have people out on the outside who are trying to make this a racial issue. And those involved in this are trying their best not to make this a racial issue. You know, Jake Lane came to the area just a few days ago. And he also made some provocative statements outside the courthouse. Today, there were advocates for Carmelo Anthony who are calling on local officials to arrest Jake Lang for what they claim. I didn't hear the audio, but they claim that Jake had threatened to hang Carmelo or have him shot in the back of the head. Now, those are their accusations, not mine. I'm just citing what happened during the press conference. And I did put that soundbite up on my Twitter page as well, so you can hear directly for them. I think there are people coming here to create a distraction, because inside that courthouse, we heard from his Black teammates, Austin's Black teammates, and they defended him. They said, no, he was not provocative or provoking. No, this was not an instance where he was being the agitator. He was not trying to cause a fight. He said that he was not trying to cause a fight. And there were several of these individuals. Like, within, I think it was on Friday, we saw six of his teammates take the stand, and four of them were Black, and they all defended Austin Metcalf. So I think people on the outside are trying to create a distraction, possibly to intimidate the jury into not wanting to go through and give this guilty verdict. That's likely part of it. But also, we know, Alex, you talk about all the time, there are so many people who would love to see another BLM riot stir up right before the midterm elections and create another summer of love. So they're going to try to click onto whatever they can and try their very best to push it. I'm out here telling people the truth. I know for a fact that what's going on in that courthouse are people who are coming together, both Black and white, to go and put Carmelo Anthony in prison for the rest of his life. And I want everyone to understand, it's not me falling on the sword for Black Americans. It's the truth. It's what's happening in that courthouse. The people on the outside who are trying to stir stuff up and trying to create all this chaos.
Oh, I totally. It was a Black war, the Black jury found the Asian guy 6 out of 9 not guilty because the guy pulled a gun, and they say it's a racial thing. No, Black people found him guilty. If I was white, yeah, and a white guy shot, you know, did something wrong, I'd convict his ass. I'd just do the right thing. But everybody makes this stuff racial. So what's the timetable? Any guesses on the jury and when that's going to come in on this?
So we're going to hear deliberation's going to begin tomorrow, it sounds like. And I'm just going to assume, Alex, it's going to be a really quick one. I mean, there was no rebuttal. His defense team gave no rebuttal. And I think that's probably also going to be
because didn't the prosecution rest this morning and the defense did nothing?
The prosecution rested on Saturday. So the judge called for there to be court on Saturdays as well. So mid-Saturday, the prosecution rested, and then the defense picked up Saturday afternoon. And they've only had a couple, I believe less than, if I had to guess off the top of my head without counting, I believe we had less than 10 witnesses get called to the stand. And to be blunt, too, more than half of those witnesses really worked against the defense team. It's almost as if they didn't even know what they were prosecuting and what they were really getting
into. Oh, tell us about that. What did you say?
Yeah. Well, we saw today that they called a Frisco police officer to the stand, and that Frisco officer was supposed to go back and forth on whether or not that knife that was being carried by Carmelo was legal in the first place. Now, that's obviously being disputed, but what's not being disputed is you're not supposed to have a knife. It's prohibited from this school. So that's something that they're going to get pushed back on. Now, as soon as that was called into question, quickly the defense took down their witness, and that was it. Adios for him. There was a couple of other people who went on the stand. Saturday, we saw the defense team called a witness to the stand who at first sounded like he was just disputing the back and forth between both the Metcalfs and Carmelo Anthony. But when the prosecution got up to cross-examine this witness that was brought on by the defense, the prosecution very quickly, very swiftly said, who was in the wrong here? And that individual said Carmelo Anthony was in the wrong here. And then they followed up and said, who provoked this? Did Carmelo provoke this? And that person answered, yes. So quickly that witness came off the stand, and we keep seeing it time and time again. It's almost like, and this is why, Alex, I feel like this is intentional, that the defense is trying to just make it so that there's really just a crappy job done by them. Because when the prosecution rested their case, and I saw Black Twitter start pretending like this was actually something of importance, quickly the defense team stepped in and wanted the judge to direct it over to the jury to have them come in with a verdict. And they claimed that there was actually no evidence that was presented to prove murder by the prosecution. And the judge said, no. Like, it's your turn. Bring your next witness up.
So you're saying on purpose. Are they trying to lose it on purpose, or what are you saying?
Well, so what I'm saying here is this is a common theme with criminal defense attorneys, right? When they're on the losing side of things, they want to create an avenue for an appeal. And so for Carmelo, they're probably trying to create an avenue of that he had an inadequate criminal defense team. And so they'll use that, they'll point to that and say, hey, look, when they called him up to bring up their next witness, my team wasn't ready. And so we weren't prepared to go to trial. And so they could try to use that on grounds for an appeal. So I know Black Twitter thought that was a sign that the prosecution didn't make their case, but I think the prosecution had a complete slam dunk. Without a doubt, there's no reason for any of this. And also, it's worth noting the defense tried to come up with a BS argument to Alex by saying during the time where they claim that Austin pushed Carmelo, that Carmelo could have somehow, some way fallen on the knife and stabbed himself in the chest. Now, here's why that's a bunch of you know what. The wound that was created by the plunging of that knife into Austin's chest went through one of his center bones, and it also penetrated his heart on both sides of the wall. So there was a significant amount of force that was used to plunge that into his chest. And so that's what they're trying to drive out there. Now, when the prosecution was interviewing the medical examiner for everyone, they took the image of his heart, the photo of his heart, and brought it over to the defense team and put it down. And Carmelo looked away. He didn't want to see it. When they then took that image and brought it over to the jury, one juror, a female juror, saw it and put her hand over her mouth, and she was appalled by what she had witnessed in that
sounds photo. Like you're predicting a conviction.
I don't see another avenue unless you have a liberal, a white woman liberal on that jury who's very empathetic towards criminals, which there is a likelihood of. I don't see this being a slam dunk for Carmelo Anthony at all. I see him getting convicted.
All right. Well, I want to get you back on. I've been asking you to come on. You've been really busy during your sabbatical, but you're back. It's great to have you here with us. In closing, big picture on Trump. I know you've been a supporter overalls. So have I. Israel, the war, 100 days today. Israel, this legislation literally merged with the Pentagon. Well, what do you make of just 35,000-foot view 5 months from the midterms where America is right now?
Yeah, it's really depressing, Alex, because this isn't where we thought we were going to be. We thought when Trump was getting back into the White House that everyone who was the lawfare suspects was going to prison. They were going to get arrested. And unfortunately, we still don't have an arrest. And we're about, 504 days into this administration. So they're absolutely disgraceful. But as you just mentioned, Israel... I've been sitting on the sidelines and tried to remain neutral in all of this because I figured maybe there's something that I'm not seeing here and I didn't want to have such a strong take on it. But it's quite clear that the United States and the Trump administration was used by Israel to push into this war with Iran. And this administration is very well aware of it. There was a report that came out this weekend. I'm sure you were aware of it. Actually, I saw it on your page first. So you were very aware of it, that the Pentagon put out a new warning not to share information with Israel. And there's some type of now warning for those in the intel community to hold off and wait and just be very weary of Israel right now. I asked the Pentagon for a comment on this and they said we can't comment on it. So they didn't dispute the report that came out over the weekend. They just told me that they cannot comment on it. And usually I do get a very cold, that's not true, response, but it was no comment. We can't talk about that. So that tells me that there might be some truth there. I think the president realizes he got played in Iran and it's obviously destroying his approval numbers. His midterms aren't going well either. I don't think they're going to go well. I'm not encouraged to go out and vote. I haven't seen anything that tells Americans that if you keep giving Republicans the majority, that something will happen. We also saw what happened with Kash Patel over the weekend, which I thought was absolutely disgraceful. Somebody who I was very excited about getting into the FBI. He decided to go after Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, who are suing the administration. They're suing specifically, though, the FBI to hand over those Thomas Crooks files. There's over, I believe it was, 75,000 pages, and they've only handed over at least 200, but they heavily redacted it because they lost their lawsuit to Judicial Watch and they're being forced to hand that information over. Kash Patel handing over a very redacted version and then attacking Judicial Watch because they believe that they got it wrong. But then he gave the less redacted version to a reporter and said, oh, look, this is how wrong he is. See? But that just tells me that they intentionally redacted it heavily to try to catch Judicial Watch in something and try to go after them. So I think it's been very discouraging. I'm very disappointed. I don't think that we're going to get the arrest that we need. And then you see what's happening in LA, Alex. I mean, there's still
I was about to say, Trump's been saying prosecution for election fraud cut and dry. They just stole from Spencer Pratt, zero.
Yeah, they stole it from Spencer Pratt. We see a tweet get put out by the president on Truth Social. He posted about it, but we don't see any movement. You know, the California Los Angeles GOP chairwoman was really upset with me for saying that they're just standing by and watching the election get stolen. The communists were stealing this election from Spencer Pratt. She was upset that I said that she was standing by, but then she gave me her own statement. Her own statement said that they were monitoring. They're monitoring what was happening in Los Angeles. Again, they're just not doing anything. What could happen?
Trump has now nominated Todd Blanche to be the actual AG. I mean, look right there.
Yeah, it's not looking well there either. I'm probably going to have to sue the DOJ soon, too, because they haven't handed over my FOIA request either. And it's obviously something that's not going to be very complimentary to Todd Blanche.
Well,
and I think that's why they're holding it back.
You were diplomatic. Even I was. I said the Defense Department says the Moodles won't fall and they'll close the strait. I got called low IQ, all this stuff. I'm not mad about that. I just wanted the agenda to succeed because Trump, I know, is a good guy overall. And hopefully he corrects. I think there's still time if he does it really aggressively and just comes out against Netanyahu, shuts this down, declares victory, moves on. But if he doesn't do it, according to the economists I talked to, there's not much time, Brianna.
Yeah, and my friends who are all Trump supporters are really, really upset right now because their businesses are just failing right now because of all of this. And it's interesting to see the president go out there and say, when talking about the Strait of Hormuz, oh, well, you know, we're fine. We don't need anyone to help us out in this situation. But then he's calling on those a part of NATO to help out. Oh, I think they should step in because they're the ones that need
And
this.
China, that's allied with Iran, he's like calling on the real enemy to help. I was like,
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he's welcoming in 500,000 of their students, which we all know are CCP spies, into our country and saying that they just want to coexist and learn about American culture. It's absolute garbage. I'm actually going to break a story later this week, too, about a company in Ohio that was not only welcomed into the United States, a Chinese company, but was given incentives to come and move to Ohio. But they're bringing in foreign workers. Our federal government's approved their visas. And now they're in competition with American businesses that are trying to stay afloat here in the United States. And so this administration, while they go out there and pretend that they are fighting for the American people, all signs point to the exact opposite. And I don't know if President Trump really understands this or if it's the people around him who have him so well insulated that he doesn't understand what's going on in this country right now. But a lot of his loyalists, I know for a fact, are infuriated right now. They're not happy.
Oh, but CNN said 100% support him. They did that directly to lie to him. What a joke. All right, Brianna Morello on X. And of course, give people your news site as well.
Yes, thank you, Alex. IndependentNewsroom.com. It's a free newsletter you can sign up for right now. So head on over, IndependentNewsroom.com.
All right, you got to promise with the verdict, you got to come back on because I've been asking you on for a month. I know you were busy, but just please keep joining us. We love you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be right next to the Black Panthers and I'll bring you that exclusive.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. You let us know. Boom, you're on. All right, Harrison Smith is loaded for bear. He's suited up. He's in the bullpen. He's like a racehorse in the stall. He's about to come in here right when we go to break. 2-minute break, and the War Room Live starts with Harrison Smith and so much more. Now, just briefly, all I ask for is your word of mouth, your prayer, and support. TheAlexJonesShow.com. The products are insane. What are you losing? It's just a donation. Just think of Methylene Blue as a donation, or Bovine Colostrum, or Shilajit, or Irish Sea Moss, or get a t-shirt. It's a great t-shirt. And just get it. Now, t-shirts are fun to wear, but take the supplements. Take Methylene Blue. I know we've got the best. I know you're going to be hooked. Go to TheAlexJonesShow.com and be the reason we stay on the air in the face of all this hardcore information. This is how you stand up for freedom. There's nowhere to bet with your support, with your word of mouth, your prayer, financial support, than what we're doing here at The Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com is the mothership, the news site with the audio and video feeds and articles and everything. AlexJonesLive.com and TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the coordinates for incredible products and fun in the second American Revolution worldwide. Ball's in your court. I'm counting on you. We're all in this together. Take action now. And I thank previous supporters. When I ask new people, please support us now. All right. Harrison Smith takes over in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him. It's coming to a close, and liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to AlexJonesLive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website, and look at there! There is a live feed of his show, The Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at AlexJonesLive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.